Here it is, my friends. This is that. Can't fucking talk. Great, we're off to a good start. You can scream and shout with all your might. This is the episode of Stating the Obvious that I have been promising you. And it's pretty likely it'll end up being two episodes. There's no way I can get this much into only one episode of Stating the Obvious, because I am right and you are wrong if you disagree with me. That's the way it is. And in today's episode, or possibly the next episode, this series of episodes, which, God's help us, could even end up being a three-parter, not only will I be disagreeing with the statist, but I will also be disagreeing with one of the most brilliant people in the anarcho-capitalist movement. But there it is. It's what I do. I piss people off. And then we mow them down with the machine guns. Hi there. What's up? I am the Great One himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSSC.com on the interwebs. You can send your email responses, or you can send naked pictures of yourself if you're physically attractive, to God at CYNLIBSSC.com. That's dog spelled backwards. God at CYNLIBSSC.com. Today is the 30th of August, and it is still the day of Tour de Fat here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Okay, enough of all the bullshit. It's time to make this happen. Batten down the hatches. This is Why Statism, Part 1. I've talked at length about this before. There are two species of human. There are Homo sapien statist, and there are Homo sapien anarchist. We are two different species. The one isn't going to become the other isn't going to become the one. Homo sapien statist is the natural slave that Aristotle wrote about. That was me fucking with the computer. Sorry about that. The natural slaves, the statist, they outnumber us. This is a fact. Wow, it's a lot of noise outside. The college kids outside had quieted down. Suddenly there's like a dogfight or something out there. All right. Other than the fact that these slaves are a separate species, why do they choose statism? And they do choose statism. They choose statism for themselves, and they choose statism for us, who are ANCAPs, by forcing it upon us. Slaves choose statism for at least three reasons, and there are probably more. I've always tried to make it clear that, generally speaking, I don't think you can ever find one reason for any one thing, right? The stupid people, the 99%, the natural slaves, the statist, always want to believe that X is caused by Y, that Y causes X, Y is the only thing that causes X, X is never caused by anything other than Y, right? So when you talk to a left-wing statist, they will tell you that the economic problems in the United States are caused by Republicans. And if you talk to a right-wing statist, they will tell you the economic problems are caused by Democrats. It never occurs to any of them that both Republicans and Democrats may be contributing to the problem. It also never occurs to them that the corporations might occur to the problems. Never occurs to them the welfare state might contribute to the problems. Never occurs to them that the so-called public education system might contribute to the problems. And it certainly never occurs to them that their own behavior, their own actions, and their own beliefs, because your beliefs inform your actions, right? I mean, if you believe that redheads have no soul, then this will inform your behavior towards redheads, right? By the way, redheads don't have souls, but that's another story. They never believe that there could be multiple causes for something. Everybody wants a nice, simplistic worldview, right? This is why when the statist says to the ANCAP, well, without the government, who would build the roads? And when the ANCAP says, I don't know, somebody would figure that out. This is why the statist cannot accept that as an answer. Because for the statist, there must always be an answer. And there must be one answer. It must be this unified answer, right? So who's going to build the roads? The government. Oh, okay. Who's going to provide health care? Well, right now you could just buy health care any place you want, and oh, this is terrible, but oh, now Obamacare. Now Obamacare will make you buy health care. See, now for the statist, it all makes sense. Where does health care come from? Well, it comes from Obamacare. There's a law. So it's for the statist. They're not smart enough to understand multiple causes, multiple effects. They just can't process this. To them, if some single entity is not providing something, they don't understand how it can work. So why do the slaves choose statism? I think there are at least three reasons. That's what the whole preface was about. Is there's not just one reason why the 99% want to be statist, why they want to be slaves. I think there's at least three reasons, and there's probably some more if I sit down and make a list. And this podcast is going to talk about two of them. The two that we're going to talk about in depth are, number one, the statist is an entity that cannot provide for itself. Number two, the statist is an entity that lives in perpetual fear. Now, a third one that I will probably talk about at length sometime in the future is the fact that a statist is a person who, and I use the term person loosely, they're a biological being. They are not agents in any kind of moral sense, because they're purely responsive, and because a statist, like a religious person, has no internal set of morals. They have no internal set of values. They have no internal mechanism that informs them how to behave towards others. And again, I've talked about this at length before, right? The Christian says, well, you shouldn't kill other people. And you say, why not? Well, because God said so. It's like, oh, so you only don't kill other people because God said so. You know, if God hadn't said so, you wouldn't know that killing other people was wrong. And that's why I always make fun of Christians for being people who needed God to write down on a rock, thou shalt not kill, because they couldn't figure that out on their own. Statists work exactly the same way. Statists are like, well, we have to have a law against murder. Why do you need a law against murder? I mean, if you actually need a bunch of politicians to write down on a piece of paper that killing people is illegal, for you to know that killing people is wrong, then you're morally defective. The statist values comfort and convenience more than they value their own freedom. That's the third reason. And it's not just your freedom, it's their own freedom as well. The statist will give up their own freedom for comfort and convenience. Look how many people around you don't, you know, they claim they hate the corporations, but they don't mind the corporations tracking them on their cell phones and their internet activities and all this other stuff, well, because it makes their buying experience at Amazon better. They claim they value privacy, but of course they don't mind the government tracking them because it gives them their sense of security, which feeds back into the fact that they live in fear. Okay. The statist is never going to be able to walk away from the state. They're never going to be able to reject the state because they can't provide for themselves, because of the fear that they live in, and because of their need for comfort and convenience. All of these things are attended to for them, provided for them, fixed for them by the state. And for them to be able to walk away from the state, they would have to be able to solve all of these problems themselves. And they can't. They can't do it. All right. Start with number one. Statists cannot provide for themselves. Somebody who is a statist, in the very act of needing the government to provide them with what they need, they're admitting they can't provide these things for themselves. I've done this shtick, 20, 30 times. Statists are people who need the government, well, for one thing, to tell them that killing other people is wrong, because they didn't know that. They need the government to tell them what kind of food they should eat. They need the government to tell them how often they should exercise. They need the government to set up all these programs that will provide them with food when they can't buy their own food. They need the government to set up programs that will help them get into college and help them get jobs and help them make money, help them get paid a quote-unquote living wage, because they can't create enough value for other people to get enough money to buy their own food, to buy their own clothing, to pay their own rent, to get an automobile. And of course, part of that is because they live beyond their means, certainly. But part of that is simply because they don't have the ability to provide for themselves by creating value for other people and negotiating for other people, negotiating with other people, that is to say. So the statist cannot get an education and a skill set that allows him to create value for an employer or for clients directly, and then negotiate with the employer or with the clients, negotiate for a financial exchange, a wage, a payment, a barter, whatever, that suits his own needs. The statist goes out, he gets this worthless education through the public schools. He goes to college, he gets a degree in something that doesn't require math classes, like journalism or communications or African American studies. And then he has no ability to create value for people in any kind of meaningful way. So the only thing he can do is work as a waiter or work as a barista. And since anybody can do those things, well, not anybody, but almost anybody, nobody's willing to pay those people a large amount of money. So the statist needs the government to create minimum wage laws to make sure that they get a certain amount of money that they would otherwise not be deserving of. The statist then needs the government to create welfare to supplement this income. The statist needs the government to give out food stamps. The statist needs the government to create low-income housing. All of this because the statist is not able to provide his own food and shelter. which is what differentiates the statist from every other animal, every other biological organism on the planet. Rabbits, wolves, lions, gazelle, elephants, amoebas, tuna, sharks. Every other biological organism on the planet can provide for itself, but not the statist. And the statist has Google, they've got cell phones, they've got the Khan Academy, they've got internet, they've got books, they've got other people around them who can teach them, they have computer, and they can't fucking provide for themselves. They're completely fucking helpless without the state. The statist cannot negotiate for what they want. The statist doesn't like people smoking cigarettes at the bar, so the statist needs the government to pass a law banning cigarettes in bars, because God forbid people drinking alcohol should smoke a fucking cigarette. The statist needs the state to provide what the statist wants, because the statist cannot negotiate. The statist cannot, you know, go to the owner of the bar and negotiate, hey, would you be willing to turn your bar to non-smoking? Would you be willing to install air filters? Would you be willing to have a designated smoking section? The statist can't negotiate that type of thing, nor can the statist create value. If there is a value in having a bar where nobody can smoke a cigarette, then somebody who can create value would start that establishment. You'd start a bar and you'd say there's no smoking here, and people would come and take advantage of that. But of course, also, the statists who have positions of power, who the statists who already own bars, don't want more bars to come into existence. So those statists, even though you may think they're ANCAPs or ANCAP-ish or something, they're not, they're statists. They don't want other bars to come into existence, because other bars will threaten them, especially if, so let's say, for example, you own a bar, and you're going to allow smoking in your bar, but somebody else opens a bar and it's non-smoking, and a bunch of your clients go over there. Well, that new bar is now a threat to you. Or what if you own a bar and you go non-smoking, but somebody else opens a bar and they allow smoking, and a bunch of your clients go from your bar to their bar? The new bar is now a threat. That's why the statists who own businesses or run businesses love the government. They love the statist regulation. They love these laws that say you can't smoke in a bar anywhere, because it does what statists call leveling the playing field, which is another way of saying it punishes everyone and it prevents anybody from opening up a bar that competes with your bar in the sense of whether or not they allow smoking. It restricts the choices of everybody who wants to go to a bar, and it restricts the choices of everybody who wants to be the proprietor of a bar. This is a statist wet dream, right? As a statist who has a successful business, you don't want competition. I've talked about this before. This is why the corporations love all of these regulations about affirmative action and American with Disabilities Act and all this other shit, because you have to throw all this money at these things to put in ramps and push bars on your doors and to hire black people and hire women and all these other things. And for the mega corporations, they have shit tons of money. It means nothing to them. Oh, we have to hire some more black people. Just create some dead-end jobs that don't really do anything. Hire some black people, throw some money at them, no problem. A small business owner can't afford to do that. Right, the state comes along and says, well, you have to have wheelchair ramps on all your doors. Mega corporations, they don't give a shit. You throw down some concrete, no big deal. They have tons of money. Small business owners get destroyed by the cost of this bullshit. The statist in their reliance upon the state to tell them what to eat, to provide them with a minimum wage, to do their negotiating for them. Essentially, that's what happens, is through regulations and stuff. Instead of being able to negotiate with somebody the terms of your employment, all of these regulations pre-negotiate that for you. And the status thinks this is wonderful because they're guaranteed all of this stuff. What they don't understand is that it destroys their flexibility. It destroys more opportunities for them than it creates. The statist cannot provide their own defense. This is why the statists love the police so much. Talked about this before. Right? Statists believe, well, the police, they're protecting me. The police are not protecting you. The police don't give a flying fuck about you. Talked about this ad nauseum. The police are there to protect the criminals. But the statist, because they don't have the ability to protect themselves, they don't know how to defend themselves physically, they don't know how to use a weapon, they don't carry a weapon, they're terrified of weapons, because they cannot provide their own defense, they need the state to provide their defense for them. The statist will never reject the state because they cannot provide for themselves. This is why the whole Life of Julia video, or slideshow, whatever you want to call it, that the Obama campaign put out. I mean, this is why so many people, especially women, just creamed their panties over that. Because this need that the statist has to have everything provided for them from cradle to grave, they have this need for a reason. That reason is they know they cannot provide for themselves. They know good and goddamn well that if they had to amass a skill set and go out and find a way to create enough value for other people that they could make enough money to buy the things they want to buy, they know they can't do it. That's why they need minimum wage. The femistatists are one of the clearest examples. They just, they regard, so for the femistatists, the government and the corporations have taken the place the governments and the corporations have replaced men in their life. Back in the day, back in Aristotle's day, when everybody walked uphill in the snow and the natural slaves were recognized for what they are, natural slaves, you know, Aristotle wrote, and I've talked about this also ad nauseum, that it was the purpose of men to go out and gather resources and bring them into the household, and it was the purpose of women to manage the household and manage the resources. And this is what women do. If you look at women, women spend resources. 80% of consumer spending controlled by women. Look at the amount of money that women spend compared to the amount of money that men spend. When you average it out, women spend most of the money in this country. Most of the spending decisions are made by women. Women have it, however you want to say it, they're genetically programmed, whatever the fuck ever. Women spend money. Women spend resources. In the past, they needed men to bring the resources in, but of course men came with an attachment, is that the man would expect the woman not to have sex with every other guy on the block, and men would expect the women to fucking do their hair once in a while and not act like total idiots. Well, this of course is too much for the femistatist, because the femistatist can't provide for herself, but she wants to be provided for, but she doesn't want to have any sorts of standards attached to that, right? The femistatist is like the people who say, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Which, of course, when somebody says that they aren't religious, they're spiritual, What they mean is they want to go to heaven, they just don't want to have to behave in any particular way in order to get entrance into heaven. The femistatist wants resources, which they can't provide for themselves, but they don't want any sort of attachment to getting those resources. This is why the femistatists love the government and the corporations. The government is their husband, the corporations are their boyfriends, right? The government provides them with the free birth control, provides them with the welfare, provides them with the WIC, provides them with the food stamps, provides affirmative action to make sure they get jobs, provides loans for them to go to college and study feminist studies and all this other stuff. And then they get a job at some corporation, usually in an HR department or some other aspect of working at the corporation that doesn't involve any math because they don't know how to do math. And they know the corporation provides them with friends, and the corporation sends them out on corporate outings, and the corporation takes them on little mini vacations called conferences, and the corporation gives them a place to socialize and be friends with other people. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a great video by Davis Aruni entitled The Corporate Boyfriend, where he talks at length about the concept of the corporate boyfriend. It's a great video. So the slaves cannot provide for themselves. They can't. The statist cannot provide for themselves, and they know they can't provide for themselves. This is not a fucking secret. The average person knows good and goddamn well that if they were left to their own devices without the government to wipe their ass, they would die. This brings us to the fact that the slaves live in a state of perpetual fear. Knowing that they cannot provide for themselves, they are afraid that they will die, because they will die because they can't provide for themselves. Now, to go off on this, I want to read a comment that was left over on the YouTube channel by one of my regular listeners. And this is intelligent, it's insightful, and it's going to springboard us into the fear part of this conversation. So here we go. He starts off by quoting something that I said in the podcast he was commenting on. I said, "Slaves that are afraid are slaves that are easier to control." His response is, "I disagree. Take a casual observation of animals in the wild versus animals that have been domesticated. Wild animals are afraid of everything, while domesticated animals have had the natural instinct of fear bred out of them. Which is easier to control, a deer or a dog?" All right, I'll just respond after each paragraph. Okay, this is absolutely true. And here's the thing. He is talking about what I think is a different kind of fear than what I'm talking about. So for the purpose of this conversation, I'm going to refer to them as immediate fear versus persistent fear. So a deer in the wild, first of all, I would not say that a wild animal, a deer or anything else, lives in a state where it's always afraid. That's persistent fear. I would say they live in a state where they are always aware. They're persistently aware of their surroundings, right? They're always on the lookout for danger, because they have to be, otherwise they'd be dead. But if a deer or any other wild animal goes into a state of immediate fear, where something is threatening them in the moment, then sure, you're not going to be able to control them, because their fight or flight is going to kick in. They're attempting to escape, or they're going to attempt to fight back. Domesticated animals have had the natural instinct of fear bred out of them, he writes. Yes and no. And this is We'll use the dog example because I talk about dogs a lot, and I talk about how dogs are statist animals because they're inbred wolves, and I think they're the perfect example. Dogs have indeed had the immediate fear bred out of them. This is why I've said you can go up, like for example, you go up to a wild animal and you kick it, the wild animal's either going to run away or it's going to try to defend itself and attack you. A dog, generally speaking, if you kick it, unless it's trained to attack, in which case then it's living constantly in a state of persistent fear, right? If it's an abused dog, a dog doesn't have that immediate fear. When you go up to it and you kick the dog, it comes right back because it's too stupid to have the immediate fear, because as a domesticated animal, that's been bred out of it. But why does it keep coming back? It keeps coming back because it knows that humans are the source of food and affection that it needs. The dog is afraid on a persistent level that if the dog doesn't have humans around to give it food and attention, it's not going to get those things. And the dog, because it's domesticated, can't provide its own food and its own emotional needs. Just as the statist will allow the state to touch their children in airports, just as the statist will get into the body scanner, just as the statist will allow the NSA to read their emails. The statist does these things because the statist is afraid of what will happen to them if they don't allow the government to do what the government wants to do. The statist is afraid that the government will withdraw its support of them, and then they will die because they cannot provide for themselves. Let's read the next paragraph of his comment. Now let's observe people. Take our own society for an example. There are groups of people that government certainly has a hard time trying to control, and those people often demonstrate fear of everyone else by isolation and hostility. These people are often considered outcasts and outlaws by society at large, and are almost always strong advocates for freedom. Think outlaw motorcycle clubs, for example. Okay, that's the end of that paragraph. Groups of people has a hard time trying to control, and those people often demonstrate fear of everyone else by isolation and hostility. If you're isolated from other people, I'm not sure how you can be hostile towards them. Okay, sure, they often demonstrate fear by isolation and hostility. But again, as I've said before, as ANCAPs, we need to recognize that all of the statists out there want us to die. They want anyone who does not conform with the government. They want anyone who does not conform with the laws to be put into a cage. And if you resist going into the cage, they want you to be beat, physically assaulted until you get in the cage. And if you keep resisting, they want you to die. When the police shoot you, they will cheer for the police and talk about how wonderful it is that the police are here to protect them, because they can't protect themselves, from the evil criminals who, for example, want to smoke a cigarette within 20 feet of a doorway. That's illegal here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Or somebody who throws cardboard in a trash can. That's also illegal here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Okay, fine. Sometimes they are into isolation and hostility. But who doesn't want to get away from people who want to kill them? And why would you not be hostile towards people who want to kill you? These people are often considered outcasts and outlaws by society at large. My disagreement with that is that who gives a fuck what society at large considers them? He's like, well, the other slaves think you're a bad person for running away. Well, fuck the other slaves. They can suck my fucking balls. I mean, the fact, okay, so other people think they're outlaws. Who gives a shit what other people think? These other people are too goddamn stupid to feed themselves without help from the government. Nobody should give a fuck what these other people think. That's my response to that. Next paragraph. Now take your average voting, taxpaying, law-abiding sheeple citizen that runs on autopilot, thinking included, and never questions authority. These people are very often oblivious to the dangers around them. True, don't disagree with that, and almost always completely oblivious to the harm that their own actions cause through voting and paying taxes and obeying law and authority. Agree with that. Because they are so blind, they are also very unfearful and possibly even hostile towards those that express a desire for more freedom. Okay, first of all, I would say they are not possibly even hostile. I would say they are definitely hostile towards people who express freedom. Now, see, here's our first where I disagree with what he's saying. He says because they are blind, they are also unfearful. Okay, they are unfearful, yes. They are unfearful of what the state may do to them, right? These people are unfearful of the NSA spying on them. They're unfearful of the negative ramifications of Messiah care. They are unfearful of the economic impact of all the regulations on businesses. They are unfearful of the impact of the government printing money. They are unfearful of the impact of all the college loans that are not going to get paid back and how that's going to bust the college bubble, what it's going to do to the economy. They are unfearful of the ramifications of getting a college diploma in hyphenated studies and math avoidance. Yes, they are definitely, in that sense, unfearful. And I think, I'm interpreting something somebody else has written, so my interpretation is that that's the version of unfearful he's talking about. I don't disagree. At the same time, these people are fucking terrified. They are terrified on a daily level of how bad everything will be if there is no state. Because remember, without the state, who's going to build the roads? These people are fearful that if you don't allow the NSA and the college loans and the worthless degrees and the printing of money and the wars in foreign countries, there will not be any roads. There will not be any food. There will not be any jobs. They are totally fucking fearful that if they do not obey the government and do what the government and the corporations and the colleges tell them to do and want them to do, they are afraid that they will not be able to continue living because they don't have the ability to provide for themselves the necessities of life, because they cannot create value for other people and they do not know how to negotiate for what they want. That is the persistent fear that I'm talking about. Every time a state says, who's going to build the roads? What they're really saying to you is, I am afraid that if the government doesn't build the roads, then all the perceived benefits that come from having roads will no longer be there. And I do not know how to acquire those benefits without the government doing all of the stuff to provide them for me. And thus, I am afraid I will lose those benefits. That's the fear that I'm talking about that underlies everything a statist believes. The statist is the ultimate in selfishness, right? The statist is the person who believes that it's okay for the government to kill people because some of the things the government does are good. And by good, what they mean is serve their personal needs. And the more you get from the government, the more you get from the state, right? When you work at a defense contractor that builds cruise missiles, you think war is wonderful. You're totally okay with the government going to war in other countries because that means they need your product. That means they buy more of your product. That means you spend more time building missiles. That means you get more money. If you're a supervisor and they have to ramp up production, you have to hire more employees. Now you're supervising more people. Now you can use that to leverage a raise. Okay, let me read the next paragraph and the final paragraph of this comment. If you look at the history of slaves in this country, you can see clear examples of this in action. It would often happen that when one slave would escape, the rest of the slaves would resent the escaped slave for escaping. This is the very same kind of reaction I get when I tell people I don't pay taxes on my income. Taxes are not freedom, and I sincerely want everyone to keep 100% of what they make, 100% of what they earn, because it means more freedom for everyone. So I tell them, I want you to be free, and they get angry that I am not choosing to be like them. I get all the boring, stupid questions and responses from who would pave the roads to you're not paying your fair share, and let's not forget, if you don't like it here, you can always leave. Those are not reactions born out of fear, but out of domesticated, medicated brainwashing and public indoctrination. So who do you think is easier to control, sheeple or outlaws? And here's where I disagree with him. So why are the slaves afraid? Why do the slaves resent the slave that escapes? Partially because, yeah, they don't want the slave to be free, but because they're afraid that they'll be punished for the escaping slave. They are also, because remember, slaves, statists, those kind of slaves, not slaves as in chattel slavery. The statist is like the analogy of the crabs in the buckets, right? The crabs all pull each other down. I've talked about this ad nauseum, especially again with femistatus. This is how femistatus are. And no femistatus wants to elevate herself. They want to drag other feminists, they want to drag other women down to their level. This is why any woman who is not a femistatist is considered such a threat to femistatism. Slaves are exactly the same. Statist slaves are exactly the same. When the statist sees somebody who is not a statist, somebody who is achieving things, somebody who has freedom, someone who is happy, someone who's, God forbid, not paying taxes, they want to drag you back down to their level. And again, I would argue that no, this is fear. The reason the statists want to keep you as enslaved as they are is because they're afraid. If enough people stop supporting the system, if enough people stop obeying the state, if enough people stop paying the tax, I mean, why do you think this whole you're not paying your fair share? All of this comes out of they're afraid that the rich aren't going to pay enough money and their welfare benefits might get cut. I mean, I get his points and everything he puts in this comment, and I think that there is a sense in which he is absolutely right in all of his comments. But when he says that these reactions are not born out of fear, you know, I already talked about it. And when they say, who's going to build the roads? That does come from fear. It comes from their fear that they're not going to get those benefits that come from the roads. They're absolutely fucking terrified. And I think it is fear. I mean, who's easier to control, the sheeple or the outlaws? Obviously the sheeple. And again, so to try to put some perspective on this, I'm interpreting this as his perspective. He's saying the sheeple have had the fear bred out of them, and that makes them easy to control. The outlaws have the fear still within them, and that makes them difficult to control. And again, I agree and I disagree because of the two different kinds of fears. The outlaws have the immediate fear of what the state is going to do to them. The sheeple have no immediate fear of what the state's going to do to them. He's right. He's absolutely right. That fear has been bred out of the sheeple, and it is persistent in the outlaws, and that makes the outlaws hard to control. It's the other kind of fear. It's the persistent fear. I think that, and you know, maybe the outlaws do have a persistent fear also. Maybe it's that they have a persistent fear of the encroachment of the state. And that contributes and reinforces their immediate fear that makes them hard to control. But the sheeple have the persistent fear of their inability to provide for themselves in the absence of the mechanisms of the state. And all of the sheeple questions, who's going to build the roads? It's fear that they will not get the benefits of the roads being there, right? Why aren't you paying your fair share? It's their fear that if there aren't enough taxes paid, they're not going to get their fucking WIC payments. Right? If there's not a law, if there's no government, who's going to provide the police? You know, it's their fear that everybody around them wants to kill them and that they won't be able to defend themselves. So I think I understand his points. And I don't, you know, in that particular context, I don't disagree with what he's saying. But no, I do absolutely think the statist is constantly motivated by fear. All right, let me consult my notes for a moment here and see what's the next thing I actually need to talk about. I jumped around a lot. I'm trying to avoid reading my notes. And the statists are afraid, right? Again, I actually did pretty good, I think, at explaining all of this shit. The statist knows he cannot do these things himself. Blah, blah, blah. The statist worldview is that no one person can provide roads, education, welfare. They're afraid. Blah, blah, blah. They're afraid. You know, read the show notes. Let me just read my show notes to you. Here we go. Okay. Whew. A statist exists in a state of persistent fear. This is obvious from their words. Listen to what they say. Who will build the roads? Who will educate the children? Who will force businesses to hire people based on skin color? Who will pay me to be a single mother? Who will provide my retirement money? All these things arise from the fear a statist has that these things will not be done. And statists are afraid these things will not be done because they are incompetent, right? The statist knows, the average statist knows there's no fucking way in hell they can teach their own children anything. That's why they're terrified that there's no public education system, right? The single mother with three babies with two different daddies, she knows she can't support those kids on her own. That's why she's fucking terrified that there will not be a state to give her welfare and WIC and food stamps. Okay. Trying to read my own shit. What a concept. They are always afraid these things will not be provided. Talk to one of them. They are terrified 24 hours a day that the things they want, welfare, roads, laws against smoking, war, medical care, will not be provided. Thus, they are statist. They want the power of the state to force other people to provide the things they desire. Exactly. They're afraid. I want to go to a bar, but I'm afraid somebody at the bar will be smoking a cigarette. Therefore, I want the state to force everybody who owns a bar to forbid smoking within their establishment. That's fear. It's selfishness and it's fear. They're selfishness. They want a bar where nobody smokes cigarettes. They are incompetent. They cannot negotiate with a bar owner to have a non-smoking bar or a non-smoking section. They cannot start a business of their own where people drink and don't smoke cigarettes. And so thus, they are afraid that they'll go to the bar and be exposed to cigarette smoke, so they get the state to force people who own bars to not allow smoking. Furthermore, their conformity is driven by fear. There is nothing a statist fears more than being different from the other people around them. Statists will kiss any ass, support any law, put any Japanese person in a concentration camp, believe anything from Iraq has weapons of mass destruction to Obamacare will reduce the cost of health care. And they will believe this because they are fucking terrified of being different from the inhabitants of the echo chamber around them. And this is a good place to leave off because I'm running out of time, and that's good. When I come back for part two, we're going to talk about the fear that the average person has of being different from the other people around them. This is one reason why statism continues to survive and thrive. It's not just because these people are too incompetent to provide for themselves and are therefore afraid they cannot be provided for and thus support the state. But it's also because the statist sees what the other people around them are doing and they're so needy of attention and affirmation from others around them that they dare not stop conforming with the other people around them. Again, out of fear. They are afraid to be different. They are afraid to think for themselves. All right, I'm going to take a food break, gather my thoughts together, come back and hopefully wrap this up in only two episodes.